You're listening to the World's Team Podcast. It's not just America's team, Cowboys Nation. It's the world's team. Now, here are your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
How about them Cowboys?
What is up, Cowboys Nation? Welcome back to another episode of the World's Team Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Network, powered by FanDuel Sportsbook, and sponsored by Cowboys Experience for the ultimate game day experience, tailgating, stadium tours, all the above. Be sure to go to www.cowboysexperience.com and use the discount code WORLDSTEAM2025. I'm your host, I'm pure stuttering like hell, Mike. I am your host, Paul Stewart, and I'm joined as always by a very hungover Mr. Mike Poland. And we hope that you had an amazing Christmas, everyone. But Mike, how are we doing?
Yeah, good. As you say, little hangover. I neglected yesterday's work for blogging a boy, but I was just like, mate, I cannot type right now. You do not want my work on fire. So I will lay my apologies and then we'll go from there. But other than that.
Yeah, it was good. Family over, food, drinks, partying. I hope everybody else drank responsibly as I did, and had a great, fantastic day with their family, as well as witnessing a Cowboys win. Ticking them off. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, for me, it was a really quiet one.
Yeah, I went know how you do Christmases, yeah.
Yeah, went to my parents' place, had my Christmas dinner, watched the Cowboys game, watched the Lions game, and watched Stranger Things, and that was it. Nice and simple.
Don't spoil it for me. I haven't watched Stranger Things
Don't worry. I'm not going to mention it.
No spoilers.
I will say it's good. It's good. Yeah. So, but yes, folks, we are here to talk about the post-game reaction. Obviously, we weren't going to do it on Christmas Day because we would be in no fit state to do that. So, but yes, the Dallas Cowboys won 30-23 yesterday in Washington as the Dallas Cowboys jumped up early, built a big lead, scoring in the first three drives, going up 24-10 and by halftime. The Dallas offense was clicking, especially through the air. Dak Prescott threw over 307 yards with two touchdowns, helping the Dallas attack. The biggest highlight of the game was obviously coming from Kevante Turpin with an 86-yard dime.
That
was
perfect.
It was great to watch. But in the second half, Washington did fight back in the second half, including a 72-yard run touchdown, pulling within the score multiple times, but couldn't complete the comeback. The Cowboys closed it out with a late field goal from Brandon Aubrey, holding on for that 30-23 win in the NFC East rivalry. Mike, what was your thoughts about the game?
I mean, first of all, I know what people are going to say first things first, is a win doesn't help the Cowboys. It's about the draft. I disagree. This is now all about momentum. We talked about this in the pregame show. It's all about momentum going into next season. You want players to finish on a high, finish with confidence. It's all about getting into the right mode. The big one for me, Jake Ferguson on that touchdown catch. I mean,
I did say he was due a touchdown.
I mean, the hands on that ball, incredible. I mean, the pass was even more better by Dak. I mean, Dak was completely on form in this game.
Spiral was perfect. Like, it was
over the top of the defender, right where it needed to be. You couldn't have put it anywhere else.
And great control by Jake Ferguson on that play. Yeah. Great control. Yeah.
A lot of concentration effort for that. But Malik Davis going over a ton. Yeah. I mean, we was talking about Malik Davis and we were talking about the running backs and that do the Cowboys need to draft a running back? What we need to see from Malik Davis is consistency and an increase in what it is he can do. And he's showing that at the moment. If he does the same again, I know it's Washington, I know it's the Giants, but you've got to see a level of consistency, because then suddenly we're going running back. All right, got Javonte Williams, but what's behind him? Now all of a sudden you're going to next year going, maybe we don't need to draft a running back really, really high. We've still got Maffer on deck as well.
Yeah, and this is something we kind of talked about quite a fair bit. Like, if Davis can step up, and the big question mark looms more on Jaden Blue more than anything.
Yeah.
I would say.
Big question marks.
Like, rather than Phil Mather, because I think Phil Mather, to me, looked as though in the preseason, looked as though he was getting more of the carries anyway. He was getting more of the bump compared to Jaden Blue. So,
yeah.
But speaking about like some Malik Davis, he did rush for 103 rushing yards. He stepped up after Javonte Williams exited the game, obviously re-aggravating that neck shoulder injury. So if it was me, I would just pull the plug on Williams for the next game.
Definitely.
Let him rest up, focus on next year, and see what else we've got with Malik Davis.
There you go. That was going to be my point. Well, just get put it all on him and just go, right, Malik Davis, you are our RB1.
Your time
what
to shine. It's your time to shine.
Yeah. And let's just see what we can, what we've got there.
And when it comes to Dak Prescott, and I did say this, like, I was a wee bit concerned if Dak was to get picked up with any injury. There was one play by Washington, it was almost slightly like an alligator roll in a way, but it wasn't. Like, basically kind of like...
It was a momentum. It was a momentum issue.
Yeah, and it was stuff like that. I just, like, paused and grasped for a second. I was like, this is what I was talking about. Like, risking it. Like, putting Dak Prescott in when there's nothing to play for. But thankfully, he's okay. Thankfully. But going into this Giants game, I think I would pull the plug on Dak on this next game. I would. I'm sorry, but I would.
It depends. What's Matt Stafford doing? I want that title.
But it's not a Super Bowl, Mike. That's the thing.
I want something from the season. That's the one thing that we've got.
I don't know what else to say, but I'd rather have our franchise quarterback fit and healthy. That's what I want. Like, especially going into next season. But hey ho. But yes. As we kind of mentioned, Jake Ferguson scored with a touchdown pass. He did leave the game later on with a calf injury. And obviously we mentioned about Cavante Turpin with the massive 86-yard reception.
It was beautiful.
Oh,
That's the highlight. The highlight of the game was that play.
Yeah. And even Michael Irvin at the post game was really, like, loved every second of it. Loved it. And he was talking about the momentum going into next year, as you kind of highlighted. It's like, and had the speech chat with Dak Prescott. Obviously, put the Christmas robe on him, eating the Netflix steaks and stuff like that. So it was really nice to see. And Dak does kind of acknowledge, it's like, yeah, well, for what we want to do, we want to try and build some momentum going into next year, and rightly so, but. It kind of goes back to my point. It's like, I get that, and I'm fully on board with that. But at the same time, like, it seems that catch-22. It's like, you still want to play. He still wants to play. But at the same time, if he ends up getting hurt, it's going to jeopardize the momentum regardless. It's just my concern, Mike.
No, I get it. I do understand. What it is I'm just being selfish because I just want something from them. There are no Dallas quarterbacks on that list. I want one. And at the moment, Dak is ahead of... it was Matt Stafford, but he's ahead at the moment. He's first in the NFL in passing yards now, ahead of Goff, but only by 60 yards.
And how far behind is Matt Stafford?
Matt Stafford... is over 100 yards.
Okay, right. If that's the case, and if that... You could say...
But bear in mind, Stafford still has a game to play.
I know.
Yeah.
I think what could be said then is, if that's the case, if that can really ball out in the first half, then cool. Try and secure as much yards you can, then pull him
Get
out.
Get him to, like, say 200 yards. Get to 200 yards. Wherever we're at, against the Giants, shouldn't be that hard to do. I'm probably going to eat my own words on that. But get to 200 yards and just yank him and go, right, that's it. We'll just call it there. It's a game of Mexican standoff almost. And you're like, right, no, that's it. 200, pull, let's go.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Well, we will talk about the Giants pregame show later this week, before obviously before the new year and stuff like that. But my general thoughts about the game, like much better performance from the offense, much better.
Mm-hmm. Like
Pickens was back. He had a great game. I feel like Lamb was quite a little bit isolated at times. Like I thought Washington did pretty well in terms of trying to like target him, but when you try and target one of those guys, then that kind of leaves the other guy open, and that kind of led to George Pickens
and Turpin.
We did get to see Jonathan Mingo on the field, but not much. And this is something we can always bring back up in the pregame show about Jonathan Mingo, but I mean, didn't really make much of an impact. Obviously, Ralph Lanoy was not present. Obviously, he was inactive in that game. Obviously, caused it due to the head knock and what was it, an ankle injury he had as well?
I believe yes, correct.
Yeah, but the defense, though, Mike, still question marks regardless.
I think that game, especially the second half, like the first half, not bad. Jadeveon Clowney with that sack that had to force a field goal for Washington, huge. That was a major play. Yeah, at that point, I was feeling a bit nervous. But yes, the defense, it has parts, which is so frustrating. You can see it. But I think Eberflus, after that game, I think you've got to kind of
cut your ties.
You've done with that now. That, especially Washington, with a third-string quarterback.
I know. Yeah. And even though it's just one more game left, but there's no point kind of bringing someone else into the fold or upgrading someone just for that one game. I don't think, let it set its course, and once that let the coaches do the evaluations and move on from there. That's what I think will happen. But who knows? I mean, I think a lot of Cowboys Nation, if Eberflus was to be extended, it's not going to be promising, I don't think.
The thing is you know, keeping Eberflus around is a very Jerry thing to do. Do you know where I'm coming from? It's a very because it will get people talking, it'll get fans into a fizz, into a pickle. And that's exactly where Jerry wants you.
But it's not really his decision, though.
True. I mean, if you think about it, yes, okay, it's not his decision, but he can, and he has done before. Will override the coach and say, no, you keep him around. He's done it with Mike McCarthy.
Interesting. Let us know
if you remember the thing with the old of Callum Moore.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Well, that was certainly a dark time, I thought, as well. But hey. I mean, we're kind of seeing that playing for itself, like what's happening in New Orleans. But in fairness to Kellen Moore, he's got nothing really to work with, really.
That, I mean, there is that side of it. I don't mind going off the cuff. I don't mind Kellen Moore. I do think there are parts to his offense that's very fit into the NFL. But he kind of gets bogged down in his ways.
I would say the biggest problem, when things work, it's great. But when when people figure out what your offense is all about, he has no answer.
He doesn't come back. Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't change things up.
That was the frustrating part when he was our offensive coordinator, and that's kind of why McCarthy took over in some regard.
Because we
became predictable. But in saying that, Mike McCarthy fell into that same shadow. And it's actually been nice, like, in a way, we have been predictable with Schottenheimer, but we've still been effective. We're not being stonewalled. We're still, like, the RPO, the play action has actually been so effective for the Cowboys this year.
Yeah, I mean, like, Schottenheimer has less of a predictability about him. I quite like what he's done this year. I know we'll talk about Shotty in his season in the new year.
Yeah, but, do our grades and stuff like that. And obviously, as the new year comes up, like we do mention, we are going to be having some special guests. We are going to bring the likes of Zach Wilchert from 105.3 The Fan and our good friend Brian Broaddus back into the fold. Excuse me.
We're into draft season, so we've got to get the draft guys. We'll try and get Aisha in as well.
Oh, we need to. Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm sure she's got, like, she... Aisha's got such a great mind when it comes to the draft. She knows exactly what she wants when it comes
Smart
to...
Girl. Oh,
she's awesome. She's awesome.
Leave that with me. I'll try and sort that out with her.
Yeah. But yeah, man, there's nothing really much else to really kind of talk about, really.
In fact,
I tell a lie, mate. And we're going to go back to this whole same topic. Kenneth Murray.
Oh.
Yeah.
Linebackers in general. Should we say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Linebackers in general, still a struggle, still frustrating to watch. It's been the crux of the Cowboys' defense all season, which is, going back to Eberflus, a very weird thing to say. Kenneth Murray has struggled a lot this season, I'm not sure if he's been asked to do something he's not comfortable with, or that he's not able to do. He's definitely not a guy you can have drop into coverage. No. And the whole cover three thing, he struggles with a lot. Doesn't have the closing speed for it, which is odd. He's more of a thumper type linebacker. So that doesn't help his cause. Overhaul is needed. But for me, at the moment, I swing back and forth when it comes to the draft on edge defender or linebacker, because linebacker is so bad, it's desperate. But at the other side of it, I'm like, you can't have linebackers without a pass rush, which we don't have either.
Well, we did do a little bit better in this game.
We're better. Yeah.
But not up to where the point we should be completely dominating in that defensive front.
We should have in that game. They didn't even have Larry Tunsil in there.
I know. And there was one point in the game where Ezra got absolutely pancaked to smithereens in that game. I was like, oh no. So there's a big development. Ezra needs to have more development. And how to kind of take on that type of stuff as well.
Yeah. Right?
So, for his rookie season, he's done all right.
Yeah.
He's done all right. But obviously, it's just not, the only downside is just not being able to get to the quarterback as much. That's the only thing. But in terms of sealing the edge, cutting inside, actually really
maintaining rush lane,
putting the pressure. Great, but it's the finished article we're just not seen enough of. And when it goes into free agency, and I don't know about you, Mike, because I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, this year's NFL draft, in terms of prospects and stuff like that, there's a lot of good linebackers and a lot of good corners going into this year.
Corners, edge rushers, linebackers, very, very nice.
So, edge rushers, yeah. There is some really good ones, but I think we might be out of the realm of getting one of those top tier ones, if I'm being honest. I could be wrong, but what I'm saying is, what if there's ones out there on free agency we can actually help stack up with a bit more experience and know what they're doing and actually help with, like, Ezaraku?
I think they've got to go both ways, certainly at linebacker and edge. You cannot complete this roster in both positions just through the draft. It's just, you've got pieces walking out of the door, you've got pieces still developing, you've got issues with other pieces, so they have to strike hard at both positions, which means draft and free agency. They have to.
I know this is the post-game show for the Commanders, but we have kind of over talked about it and stuff like that. But when it comes to this linebacker core, it is a deep concern, and this is why we are talking about the draft right now, because we're trying to address the needs early on, try and get ahead of the curve. And I wouldn't be surprised if we double stack on both those positions.
Could do. Yeah, definitely. Like, if you think, if we just go through it, quarterback set, running back looks better. And like you say, I'm totally with you. Shut Javonte down. Give Malik the full load.
It's a priority.
Definitely. Yeah. You still got Maffa waiting in the wind. You're hoping another training camp will help develop Jaden Blue. Yeah. So now I'm a little less concerned. Tight end.
That's a sneaky need in some way.
When you think Schoonmaker, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
Ferguson has had, like in this game, moments where he's absolute fire, but then there's other days where he disappears. You ask him to chip, and that guy, Ferguson, has the ability to do it. We've seen him do it.
Span Ford
is come on very nicely this season.
Yeah,
you know, we talk about
the great game.
Yeah, we talk about Flournoy having a breakout. I don't think Span Ford has got.
He's not given enough credit.
He's not getting enough credit.
Absolutely.
I'm keeping Lipke as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're all set.
Offensive line, right tackle. Yeah, we need to sort that out. Or depending on what you decide to do, if you shift Guyton to the left, you put Tyler Smith either as left guard or left tackle. Now you're talking tackle guard, depending on what you want to shuffle.
Well, there has been a development on that. So Tyler Smith was kind of interviewed, and basically his agent has kind of spoken out regards to his contract. His contract is based on being as a guard.
Because of the snap.
And based on this, in terms of shifting position, that's not part of the contract. So essentially, he will be placed back at left guard, essentially. I can totally understand, because he wants to play left guard. He doesn't want to play left tackle, because that's where I'm making my bread and
best. Yeah.
So I totally understand. He's taking the exact same firm stance what Zach Martin was like. It's like,
this is where I'm at.
If you want me to play at my 100%, play me at left guard. You're going to get the best out of me.
But I mean, defensive line, if we talk defensive line, with Quinnen Williams there now, you've got Kenny Clark, Osa.
Interior, we're absolutely set.
Yeah, Jay Toyer, you're hoping
development.
He'll take steps.
Your development. So you've got your four defensive tackles already.
Defensive end. So here we go. Now we're going into it. Big need. I skipped wide receiver. I do apologize on that side. That is a question mark.
We'll jump back to the wide receiver.
We'll say with wide receiver to be confirmed or to be determined. Yeah.
It's in the pipeline.
It depends on what happens next. Yeah. So then you go defense, big need. Linebacker, big need. Corner, need. Safety, that's a need too.
Yeah.
But we never draft safety, so.
I think safety is a really sneaky big need, to be honest.
It's somewhat, especially depending on what happens with Wilson and Hooker now, because
I believe both of the contracts are up.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah,
so
yeah, no, they are. So who
does that leave? Wanmei Thomas and Marquise Bell.
And Marquise Bell, yeah.
So we need to add more to that for sure. So
yeah,
whether it is, we'll dive into free agency regards to that, we don't know, but it's a need regardless. But defensive line, when you look at, especially even this game there, it was a little bit better. But generalizing the defensive line, it's been below par. Below par.
Definitely.
We're not creating enough pressure, especially against really worst graded offensive lines, where we should have actually been taking them to the absolute waters, essentially. We didn't do that.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, so it's been underwhelming in that way. So, as we said, Isaraco, he's still going to develop. He is going to get much better. Do we cut ties with Lisa Fowler and move somewhere else? I would.
Yeah, age is the thing with Fowler. You know,
that's the funny thing. I would keep Clowney in comparison. Because I think he's been more effective than Fowler.
He has been good. Certainly in the run defense, and solid that, brick wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we do need. And rest in peace, Marshawn Nealand. Like, that was what he was brought in to do, was to be that edge sealing the run. And Clowney's came in to help out with that, essentially. And do we may have to get another one of those type of defensive ends that is really good at sealing in the run at the edge? I would say so. But also, we do need a really elite pass rusher. We do.
Yeah, we do. I know that's ironic to say.
To open up the field, basically.
Yeah, like it changes the dynamic of your defense by doing that.
Oh yeah, your whole defensive line. If one player can do it, then it is a chain reaction across the whole line, and that's basically how it works. Like, I mean, I remember when I was still playing, right? One of my old teammates, like, he was basically phenomenal, and he was the main man. Like, but if he was to start beating his opponents, then they would try and focus on the double team. That would open up the gaps for the linebackers.
Yeah, they got changes everything.
And chain reaction. And next thing you know, they completely forget, like, for the likes of myself and my and the defensive tackles, and next thing we're getting on the stat sheet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's how it kind of works.
It's a drop down. Yeah.
Like, you saw that with the Lions game with the Vikings. Adrian Hutchinson was causing such a... Like, even though the Lions lost, but they were caught... Like, Hutchinson was on fire in that game.
Yeah.
And then you start seeing the other Detroit players, like Anzalone and stuff like that, really getting into the backfield, causing disruption. And that's all down to with the presence of, like, say, Aiden Hutchinson, because they're so purely focused on him. Same what we kind of had with Micah Parsons. When you focus on Micah Parsons too much, it just... opens the floodgates.
Opens everything else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to help me with it though, Mike, what other key parts of that game did you take note of if you thought was like, that's something we can work with here going into next season?
One moment. I have got my notes here. I've written some stuff down and now I'm trying to find it. So some of the other things that was quite interesting. Where are we? Revel having a better game.
Unfortunately, he picked up a bit of a knock.
Yeah, but at the stage when he was playing, good. He did good on the one particular play where he batted the ball away. That was good to see. But yes, he did. And I was always worried with... We spoke about Revel, that did we bring him in too early? I think so.
But for him, mentally, it was a better game for him.
Definitely.
Sure. So, yeah. A bit of a confidence booster there, but now, obviously, he's picked that little bit not. I would just like, listen, you did a good job. Like, much better job. Focus on getting better for next year. Sit this one down. And I know it's against the Giants, and I know we're really thin at corner and stuff like that, but give the guys, like, some Reddy Stewart more game time, stuff like that. See what else we've got to work with going into next year. Who else we can bring back. So that's the way I'm kind of thinking at it.
Yeah. I will say... I expected the offensive line to contain better. They did have struggles in that game. So that was it's a negative note. But Johnny Newton was just having his way with that offensive line. I know we've moved pieces. We had TJ Bass in and we've missing Guyton, and Booker had lapses.
Booker did, and I don't know about you, but that unnecessary roughness throw was absolutely soft as anything. That was absolutely crap.
I watched it several, and I'm like, he's playing through the whistle. Like, you haven't blown the whistle yet. You can't do roughing a play while the play is in. Like
it's stupid.
Roughing a passer, sorry. You can't have...
Unnecessary roughness.
You can't do that during the play. That is a design to stop players... overplaying after the whistle has gone, but he's not. He's playing through the whistle, as you're taught to do.
Yeah.
As you know, you don't stop playing until the officials tell you to stop. That's the idea. So when I saw it, I was like, that is ridiculous. That's soft.
Yeah, there was a few other moments where the referees were, I was just like, what the hell? Again, another thing that, like, not just where it comes to the Cowboys, but you see it in throughout the whole other games throughout the NFL, the referees, again, have been under the spotlight once again. So, yeah.
It is spoiling the game. I don't know. I know, like, me and you both, we don't like to blame officials for games.
We try not to.
yeah, put the game in your control. Let you control. Don't worry about the officials. But this year, there have been worse years than this one.
Well, when you talk about like the tush push and stuff like that, I think this has actually been worse.
But I mean, generally, how the officials have been this season. This season's been bad, but yeah, I mean, there's a few things that need looking at, essentially.
Yeah. Evaluation on the officiating needs to be done as well. But
100%.
I don't know if you saw the Lions and Vikings game, but the touchdown.
Part of it.
Did you see the touchdown that was given? I thought he actually jumped out of bounds. Like, just the way, like, even from the area of it, it didn't look as though the ball actually, like, it was just like, if you see the overall view, say my microphone was the, you know, the stand and the touchdown line.
The pylon, yeah.
The pylon, right? It kind of looked as though he still went out of bounds rather than the inside. Like, and but he leaped maybe like 4 yards away from the end zone and tried to like dive in. And I was like, surely it has to go back to the 1 yard line.
Yeah,
but they gave it. I was like, ah, all right, okay, fair enough. But when you saw the replay, I was like, I don't know. Like, it's very questionable. But
scores are replayed.
I know, but the thing is, like, once they made a decision, it's like, can you overturn that? So they made it. It's one of those ones where it's hard to dismiss. Like, is it that clear and evident to overturn?
Yeah. You gotta have clear evidence on it.
So it stood. So yeah. I was just like, all right, okay.
I'll go back and watch it. I can't remember. As I say, I was...
smashed.
So, more than anything from what I remember is I was like, oh, my God, the Lions are struggling. That's all I remember from most of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to really kind of say. Like, obviously, we've got the Giants next week, final game of the season at MetLife. We will be doing our pregame show, giving you all the latest injury updates and all the latest news, folks. So, but at least we come with Christmas with a victory. That was good. It made our Christmas more jolly. And it was actually, I don't know about you, but like, did you see the ticket prices, how cheap they were going for that Washington game?
I did actually. Because the funny thing is, it came on and my brother's kind of getting into it now. So he's asking me to help him to analyze the game and explain it. And the first thing he noted is he was like, stadium doesn't even look that full. And I was like, and the prices of the tickets aren't even that bad.
Some tickets, even them really like good areas in the Washington Stadium, were going for $45.
It's wild.
And like the nosebleeds, they were... cheapest I saw it was $15.
Wow.
$15.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's college games that go more than that.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Yeah. I mean, you've got nothing to play for.
Christmas Day as well. Christmas
Day. It's like, try to ask to, like, get away from the family. Like, I totally get it. Like, I mean, I love the fact there is football games on Christmas Day, but I would hate to be going to the game, if that makes sense, because you're taking your time out of your household, away from the family, where you can just sit in, enjoy a beer and watch the game. But very interesting. But that's been funny. A wee memory popped up from last year was J-Tuck. He was at the last Christmas game last year. And it was him. It's like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Like, I just remembered that. I was like, oh my God, that's been reposted.
Here we go.
Yeah, big shout out to our good friend Jay Tuffer from CM Sports.
We'll get him on as well.
Absolutely, especially when it comes to the draft, 100%.
Yeah,
like he is on it right now. But yeah, folks, be sure to leave a comment. Let us know about what you thought about the game. We would love to hear your thoughts wherever you are in the world. Let us know where you're from, because we like to know where Cowboys Nation is watching from. And so we can actually just help like really understand and really grow the channel and really reach out to Cowboys Nation all across the world. But before we do go, Mike, do you have anything else to say?
It's on to New Year. Now, obviously, we'll do the pre-game show.
Yeah.
We'll do it before New Year's. I was going to say, Happy New Year, but we'll do it on the pre-game show. So I'm on.
Yeah, pre-game show will be before New Year, and obviously post-game show will be on, it'll be the 2nd?
No, they play on the 4th.
Or the 4th? We'll do it on the 5th then.
No.
Well, it depends what time we finish, though. What time is it?
It's a 6 p.m. kickoff, probably.
Oh, we'll do it on the
6th. No, it's a flex game. It's a flex game. But you think because it's a game that has nothing in it, they'll put it as an earlier game because you want the ones where you're like, ooh, what's going to happen?
They want the spicy ones, the ones where there's actual implications.
Stuff to play for, yeah. The ones on the fringe.
Typical. Well, yeah. we're not in that conversation, so we can watch the game early. So that's so good.
But, I would say it'd be 6. It'll be 6 p.m. I've got a feeling.
I hope so.
It's a flex game, so.
I hope so. Well, yes, folks, be sure to hit the like button, subscribe, follow us on all of our social media platforms at The Worlds Team. But before we do go, I'm just stuttering.
Where can you find me? You can find me on Twitter.
Thanks, mate.
I got you. You can find me on Twitter or X at Kenfig Cowboy. That's Kenfig with a K. Cowboy with a K. And you, Mr. P.
You can find me, I think, somewhere on X and Instagram called I Am Peaster, because clearly I cannot find myself at this moment. but yes, folks, we hope you had a wonderful Christmas and bring on the new year, bring on 2026, and we're just going to continue to grow from here. And like as always here on The World's Team, it's not just America's team, it is The World's Team. Merry Christmas, everyone, and we wish you all the best for 2026. See you, folks.
That's a wrap on The World's Team Podcast. Smash that like button and hit subscribe, Cowboys Nation. This ain't just America's team. It's your team.
Touchdown.
It's The World's Team. Only on Bleav, where real fans live.
How about them Cowboys?